This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, it is, and welcome to it. This is Klaus Financial's Money in Motion, answers to all your retirement questions in one place. For more information about anything we talk about until 10 o'clock, go to KlausFinancial.com. These segments are sponsored by Klaus Financial. And joining us here in studio this week, Steve Scow, and I believe for the first time, at least with yours truly, Kyle Kite. Steve and Kyle, welcome.
Good morning, Mike. Happy belated Memorial Day, and thanks again for your past service as well.
I appreciate that. And we had a great Memorial Day weekend. I hope you both did as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very nice.
Yeah, couldn't have asked for better weather, particularly on Sunday. And Steve, I know you're a big Cubs fan. They've just been on fire. Kyle, who do you root for?
Well, I was rooting for the other good Chicago team, the Sox, but they've been slacking off a little bit lately. So.
Yeah, they're in a little bit of a slump. They need to come back, but sometimes you need those slumps to appreciate the winning streaks. Hopefully that will begin this week. All right, so I know that our regular listeners are aware of the fact that we ask a cost quiz question of the week every single week on Money in Motion. This week, you can win a $25 gift card for Applebee's. If you answer the question correctly, we'll give out the number to call later on this hour. If you want to call in and ask a question live on the air, we are live. Call 815-398-9765, 815-398-WROK. Steve and Kyle, can you tell our listeners the importance of a financial team? I know that's something that Klaus Financial offers. It's not just a solo expert there at Klaus Financial. It's a team of experts. How, when, and where can Klaus Financial assist you?
Well, that's a good question, Mike. And in reality, you're right. We're very strong advocates of using a team approach, not only within our own firm, but we also realize and recognize the importance of coordinating with other financial professionals and other professionals in general. As our tagline points out, we are there as a source to answer all your retirement questions in one place. And with that being the case, we, through the planning process we help people with, be it for retirement planning and or estate planning, we definitely recognize the importance of having a good estate planning attorney to help take care of the legal documents and the aspects of protecting and preserving your estate on the legal side of things. And obviously, as we pay taxes every year, we recognize the importance of having a good CPA. Also, when you're doing the planning and you're looking at medical insurance and or long-term care insurance, life insurance, various other insurances, having a good insurance broker is always another important factor. When it comes to purchasing a home, you want to make sure you have a banker that you work well with also. So it really is a team approach. We act for most of our clients as a coach and quarterback, as you hear us talking about, where through the coaching process, we're helping not only create that retirement plan for individuals, but again, coordinating with their other professionals to make sure that everything is in line with what the client wants and needs for their goals. And then again, on the quarterback side of things, is helping them to actually implement the plan that was created. So it is a multi-pronged and a multi-professional process, in our opinion.
Yeah, and just to recap, we're talking about a team to help you, listeners, with your financial future, a banker, an insurance agent, an accountant / CPA, an attorney, estate planning or otherwise, and an investment advisor. And Klaus Financial can help with this, acting as sort of a financial coach / quarterback about your financial future and your retirement specifically.
Absolutely, yes. We are the investment professionals to help people not only accumulate for retirement, but also as they retire to be able to create those lifetime monthly income checks that you always hear us talking about as well.
Now, it's Memorial Day is in the rearview mirror already, so we're coming up on the halfway point of the year, which has flown by. What should we be doing for ourselves as we look at the second half of 2016 in terms of, say, savings?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mike, and a great point. As we, as you said, we're already about halfway through this year, so it's a really good time to sit back and consider the goals that you set for yourself at the beginning of the year and where we stand on those. Two of the biggest goals would be how much are you saving into your retirement accounts, which are your 401ks or IRAs, and then also, do you have that emergency fund built up that we always talk about in case something unexpected comes up? So the first thing we'll talk about is how much we should have in that emergency reserve. This varies for everyone. Obviously, some people are okay having a little less in their savings account than others. But a good rule of thumb is somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 to 12 months worth of living expenses. But like I said, some people's feel good is a little higher than that. For others, it's not as big of a deal. And these funds should be liquid. So these are in a savings account or a money market account that you can get to fairly quickly, and they have almost no risk in them, which is we don't want to risk these funds in investments.
So savings accounts, basically, if you're talking about this 6 to 12 months of emergency funds.
Yeah, exactly. Because again, we don't want the risk, and we want it to be liquid so that you can see it on the bank account every month. And then, like I said, the other one is the retirement account. So these are your 401ks and IRAs. Are you putting enough into these accounts, and have you set it up to where maybe every year this goes up by 1% when you're getting a raise, and so on and so forth? There are IRS maximums that you can put into these types of accounts. Typically, the 401k right now is $18,000 for anyone under age 50, and for an IRA, that number is about $5,500. So the good news is once you hit 50, you can put a little bit more into these accounts to allow you to catch up for retirement. Once you hit age 50, the 401k maximum jumps up to $24,000 and the IRA jumps up to $6,500.
Okay, so those are important numbers to keep in mind when you know after you've saved your 6 months or maybe even up to 12 months. You shouldn't go beyond that. You shouldn't go, all right, now I got to do 13 months. No, if you have that enough saved, whatever your threshold is that you want to be, money after that should be going towards retirement. You have to know what the limits for 401k and IRA contributions are when you get there.
Most definitely. And for other individuals, they have a real difficult time even to have 3 months of that liquid net expense. So as Kyle pointed out, it does depend on each individual situation, but yeah, you definitely need to have more than $100 available.
yeah, that's not going to get you far.
No.
And you know, I mean, it's we you know, it's important to put money away as much as possible into retirement accounts as soon as you're able. Let's say after you've, you know, saved enough for your emergency funds, but it is easier said than done, right? Do you guys have any tools or tricks or tips on how to discipline ourselves to save beyond that?
You know, you're right, Mike. That is definitely much easier said than done, especially for, you know, as life happens. And a sad but alarming stat that we see, even most recently from the Federal Reserve, points out that the median balance of retirement accounts held by Americans who are saving for retirement totals less than
$60,000. $60,000. That's the median balance of retirement accounts held by Americans who are saving for retirement totals, less than $60,000. That is not enough, right?
Not even close. And take that a step further, the median average for Americans between ages 55 and 64 is only $103,000. And from age 65 to 74, it's only about $149,000 accumulated. Median average, it means there's just as many above as below that number, but that's a scary number when you're trying to accumulate for retirement.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's, for some people, that might be their expenses for the whole year, depending on how much their mortgage is, if they don't have their house paid off, if they're making any sort of car payments, if they're paying for any of their children's education, or they're just, you know, regular expenses. I mean, even if all those things are paid for and you're just doing your monthly expenses, that might only last you a couple years.
Yeah, in fact, you know, when we hear us talking about Social Security a lot, I mean, the average Social Security benefit for many retirees is about $1,300 a month, which is, you know, about $18,000 a year, roughly, or a little bit less than that, actually. And so when you look at that average median of $149,000 for people age 65 to 74, And if you assume withdrawing a maximum of 5% from that bucket, that's $620 a month in income, so you won't outlive it. So that's, for most people, going to be less than half of their Social Security as well. So, you know, as we've always pointed out over the time, I've met very few retirees that end up telling me, hey, Steve, you know, I really accumulated too much money for retirement. I shouldn't have saved as much. That rarely happens. Usually it's a situation of, just as you said, I mean, based on the amount of money accumulated, how long do you really plan on being retired?
Yeah. And then you got to divide by that amount and realize how much of that you're going to need a month to live and to live your life.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. And on the other side of it, we're going to ask our cost quiz question of the week. The winner of that, by the way, can win a $25 gift card for Applebee's. We may even take a call or two on the other side of the break. 815-398-WROK is the phone number, 815-398-9765. This is Cost Financial's Money in Motion. We'll be right back.
This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
That's right. We are back on Klaus Financial's Money in Motion. KLAASfinancial.com is the phone number, or I'm sorry, is the website for more information about Klaus Financial. That's KLAASfinancial.com. And we continue with Kyle Kite and Steve Scown from Klaus Financial. And, you know, we discussed saving for our retirements, and you said it's a rare thing or it's not that common where people sort of oversave. But what if there are some people out there who have saved a little bit more, and they're talking about gifting money to their adult children? Will they save any money in taxes if they do this, and do they have to pay anything in taxes if they want to give a gift of money to their adult children?
Yeah, this is a pretty intense subject as far as gifting and the tax implications that it handles and all those kind of things. So first of all, let's look at what is considered a gift. The IRS considers any transfer to an individual, either directly or indirectly, where full consideration is not received in return. So again, that's obviously a lot of legal language, but essentially, anytime you give someone something without getting anything in return, the IRS would consider that a gift. Like your 401k contributions, IRA contributions, there is a maximum amount that you can gift over your lifetime and in any given year. The federal gift max is about $5.43 million, which is the exact same threshold for the federal estate tax, which you might have heard us mention in the past. Obviously, the annual amount is going to be much lower than this. So the 2015 limit for gift per donor and donee is $14,000 per person. So this essentially means that if you have two grandparents, they could theoretically gift a grandchild, for instance, $28,000 a year. Again, $14,000 per person. And I'll let Steve discuss some of the tax implications on the gift.
You know, it's one of the other questions, Mike, that we end up receiving at times is, well, can I deduct that gift off my income tax?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that question typically is that if the place you're writing the check to is a qualified 501c3, which would be a IRS-allowed charity,
okay,
then it would be a deductible gift. Otherwise, as Kyle pointed out, it's not a tax deduction for you if you're gifting to some other individual or institution. And that, again, as Kyle pointed out, if it's considered a gift if you do not receive fair market value in return for what you gifted. That's kind of the criteria.
Okay. So if I gift money to someone, generally speaking, will I have to pay a gift tax?
Usually no, because like as Kyle pointed out, it's super high for most individuals at $5.43 million lifetime. So typically that answer is no. If it's a substantial gift in size, way over the $14,000 per individual, you may have to, again, work with your CPA, because we're not accountants by any means, but you may have to file a information just to let the IRS know you've used some of your lifetime exemption already.
Okay. So there are, I know, things excluded, like if you're the person, if someone's listening and they are the ones writing the check to a grandchild or an adult child, You don't necessarily have to pay a gift tax if it's under a certain amount of money. And there are also some things I know that if you're paying for directly, you don't have to worry about, right? Like tuition and whatnot of someone.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mike. And many times that, again, does come up for grandparents where they may want to be able to gift, as Kyle pointed out, up to $14,000 for each spouse to maybe their children and or their grandchildren. Or there may be concern about, well, am I gifting too much where I end up having to, you know, report some gifting or tax or information there. And just as you pointed out, if you actually pay an expense, whether it be for college tuition or medical expenses, directly to the institution and do not give it to the individual initially, it's not considered a gift in that respect. So while the general rule is that any gift where you, again, do not receive fair market value is considered a gift, as you pointed out, there are some areas like that that are more exempt. Also, if you give money to your spouse, I mean, that's, and they're a U.S. citizen, it's not considered a gift.
And they don't have to worry. Yeah, you don't have to pay taxes on that necessarily.
No.
You're just giving it directly. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, at this time, I think we're going to go ahead and ask our class quiz question of the week. And the first person to call, 815-877-8440, that's 877-8440 in the 815 area code, wins a $25 gift card for Applebee's. We gave the answer to this question earlier on the show, and the question is, according to the Federal Reserve, what is the median balance of retirement accounts held by Americans? Again, what is the median balance? That means the equal amounts above and below this amount of balance of retirement accounts held by Americans. We're looking at an average that the total balance is. We said it earlier. And if you call 815-877-8440 with the correct answer first, you win a $25 gift card for Applebee's. And speaking of gifts, And giving to charity, gentlemen, do I have any limits? I mean, if I am in the great situation where I just am wanting to give as much money as possible to charities and to other things, are there any limits that I should be aware of as far as charitable giving goes?
Yes, actually there is, Mike, and that's another good question. In general, charitable organizations, when you're gifting to, again, charitable organizations that are 501c3 organizations, you may be able to deduct up to 50% of your adjusted gross income. However, if there are certain private foundations, veterans organizations, fraternal societies, cemetery organizations, and other institutions of that nature, then it's typically limited to a maximum of 30%. But I'm going to reiterate again, you know, we're not CPAs or accountants. So those are areas, including how the gift may affect your taxes, that are very important to talk with your tax person in advance of taking care of that or making that move. Because once you've made the contribution, and if it's not what you thought it was going to be, it's not like it's reversible.
Yes. So that is very, very important, especially as we talked about earlier, you know, this being the halfway point of the year. If you are having a good year so far and you're starting to predict that you might have money after you pay for your own expenses that you might want to give either to charities or to your loved ones, these are very important things to keep in mind. Kyle and Steve, is there anything else you would like to add to our listeners throughout the State Line area here on News Talk 1440 WROK before we say goodbye this week?
I think the final thing I'd like to just mention, Mike, once again, is the importance of having that professional team to help you coordinate in various aspects. Many people are very focused on accumulating for retirement, understandably, but at the same time, we have seen many retirees who have not yet even taken care of the legal documents that are needed, and you can do really well accumulating and getting a good rate of return, saving taxes and everything else throughout your life. But at your death, if you do not have the proper legal documents in place, it could all blow up in the survivor's face, which makes it even more difficult for people. And again, we all realize that we're paying income taxes, but we want to try and minimize that as much as possible. And that's why it's really important, in our opinion, instead of trying to do it yourself, to use a professional.
Yes, and Kloss Financial can act as the quarterback, your financial coach, to this team of experts that you are highly recommended to have. And they are, again, an insurance agent, a banker, an accountant slash CPA, an attorney, and an investment advisor. And you don't necessarily have at Klaus Financial insurance agents, bankers, or accountants, but you do have investment advisors, right, and people who can kind of guide you in putting this team together.
Yes, that's a good point, Mike. We are the investment advisors, but we do network with many of the other professionals, again, as that coach and quarterback to help you implement your process. So, yeah, we are the investment retirement advisors.
If you have any questions at all and you want to sit down perhaps with Klaus Financial and have a free consultation, call them right now, 815-877-8440. That's 815-877-8440. Be sure also to tell them that you heard about Klaus Financial on the Michael Kulich Show and News Talk 1440 WROK. And I know you guys do get a lot of calls for these Klaus Quiz Question of the Weeks as well. People love these gift cards you guys give out.
That we do, and we're starting to get a nice following through the Michael Kulich Show, which we very much enjoy and appreciate as well.
Do people have to claim $25 gift cards on their IRS returns and all that kind of stuff? That might be too complicated.
They need to check with their CPA or accountant.
Check with their CPA. That's a great answer to that. All right, gentlemen. Kyle, very nice to meet you. And Steve, we'll talk with one of you at least next week.
All right. Sounds good, Mike. Thanks.
You got it. Have a great rest of the week, Mike.
You guys as well. We'll be right back with hour number two after this. Stay with us.